Minnesota basketball fans, welcome back to the Living in Loserville podcast. He's Aaron, I'm Chris, and we're here to talk some good old-fashioned Timberwolves basketball. And man, the more things change, the more they stay the same. I mean, win three, lose three, win four, lose four, win five out of seven, lose five out of seven. I mean, holy shit, it's been a ride. I hear, you know, from multiple media members that I really respect saying that this has been the most, like, the most difficult, most frustrating season, and I just still can't get on board on that. It's been frustrating, but I just can't fathom saying that as a Timberwolves fan, knowing the drudge that we've had to sit through. But I understand, and we're now in the mix of, God, it felt pretty bad there. Five out of six in a row losses. Ant got fucking hurt. Is Cat coming back? We don't know. Cat's back with the bang. We win all three games since the last time we spoke. And this race is crazy still. I mean, if you want to get technical, we can still get the four seed. Now, I don't think we will, but it's just wild, man. It is just phenomenal. And we're going to break down – you know, some of these fourth quarters kind of early in this podcast, because that was the problem with the several games before, closing in the fourth quarter. We're still having an issue closing out quarters per se, but the fourth quarter really came together a lot better. And we just got key performances from Nas, which is like a broken record, Prince in that New York game. I mean, and like I said, for Cat to come back and hit two game winners, basically, as far as the, you know, the ones that put you over for good. It's been fun. It has been a phenomenal way to get back. If this is your first time listening to the Living in Loserville podcast, welcome. It streams live right here on blogtalkradio.com/ropeadope radio. However, you don't have to go to Blog Talk and Ropeadope and download the show there and listen to it in the browser. You can find it at a variety of places under the Ropeadope Radio brand at Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, Player FM, TuneIn. We also have a Spricker page for the Living in Loserville. It's also on Spotify through Aaron's account. And, you know, a variety of other places as well. While you're at it, why don't you head on over to thegruelingtruth.com and Sports News 24. And one more thing. It's time to get your TV together without the hassle of cable. Direct TV stream. Stream the best entertainment in sports. Starting with 75 live channels and for a limited time, save $120 over your first year with any of the packages. As long as you buy the DirecTV streaming device, there's no annual contracts, no hidden fees. Plus, learn how to get premier channels included in the first 3 months with qualifying packages. Sign up today, DirecTV Stream. Okay, go ahead and bring in my co-host, Aaron. You know, we're actually starting to see some grass. Yes, I know that the rain will turn to sleet, which will turn to snow, you know. I'm okay with that. Snow in the spring doesn't do much for me. It doesn't freak me out. I do want to – I'm more worried about temperature. I do want to see some highs of 50s and 60s here in the coming weeks. But overall, it is nice to see the grass, my friend. And it looked pretty bad there for a second, losing five out of six games, having Ant turn an ankle. But what do you know? We've won three in a row now.
Three in a row. You know, like you said, the more things change, the more they stay the same. It's just erratic and inconsistent. You and I, we didn't really know what to think last week about the future of the squad, because it's like, well, we didn't know what to expect from Cat coming back and when he would come back. We didn't know the extent of Ant's injury. We knew it was a light injury, but we didn't know how long it would take for him to return and what shape he would return. And just kind of the whole glue of the squad a little bit dubious on Connolly, like what's his role. And, you know, the last three games, Chris, the three wins kind of just cemented in. Now you've got guys that have, you know, popped up, you know, and unusually, like Prince had a great game, and you know, Kyle Anderson continues to surprise us. with his play. And I mean, it really surprised us. I mean, we knew he was good, but the kind of good, you know, just overall basketball player, just doing some great things on the floor. So, you know, getting these three wins was huge, obviously, but you know, how they won in each game is kind of interesting. And, the defense is picking up, rebound is picking up, and having Cat back in the condition that he is back, is really nice. Now you got the third scorer. You've got, you know, defense. They really seem to ratchet up the defense here. And I think Connolly's really settled in and everybody's kind of figured out how to play off him. And it's just been really fun to watch the last three games. And they've been wins, and that's good. They got a tough little stretch coming up. But I think very positive, especially from where we were this time last week.
Yeah, man, it's been crazy. And that's just fun to see Cat back and have be sense of difference maker down the stretch. That just kind of quickly going back to that crazy offensive New York game. I mean, it was like 80-70 at half. That was crazy. Prince, 8-for-8 from three. Conley had like 24 and 11 assists. And Prince, you know, he wasn't jacking those things at all. He wasn't heat checking. It was just like, oh, I got an open shot. Yeah, I'll hit it. I mean, he was 7-7, like with like 9 minutes in the fourth quarter. They were down, I will say that, early in that fourth, only by a handful of points. Even under 5 minutes, they were down by three. McDaniels hit a big three, I think, to tie it up. And Conley hit a big three. Wolves make a nice little run. Prince hits his 8-for-8 three and a nice layup as well with like 10 seconds left to push it to like 139, 134. I think he hit the free throw as well. Great way to close it out. And that's been a, you know, a big thing for us as we've talked about, you know, us closing in these quarters. And the win at Atlanta, you know, the Hawks had a lead by 11 points a handful of minutes into that fourth quarter. I don't remember the exact time frame it was, but they were down by 11. And they didn't quit. They didn't slow down. And they went on a nice run. I think Nas hit a three that forced the timeout. Prince kind of came in the game, had a nice little spark. McDaniels played really, really well, had a put-back dunk. Prince had a little drive and dish for a Rudy dunk, and Rudy has been playing really well, especially defensively and rebounding, and he had a nice little steal. Tight game, came all the way down to the wire. Atlanta was up literally 122-121 with a 1:18 left. Cat and Conley checked into the game late. Conley had a little step back, got a lead. Atlanta took it back, and they ended up missing a three-pointer with 7:02 left. And McDaniels kind of skied up, got that rebound. Cat drew the fall, hit the free throws. And, you know, usually we don't have fourth-quarter comebacks. I got a crazy stat on it I'm going to show you. But I really like this game a lot because the fact that we were down to an offensive team that can light it up. I mean, both teams are pretty much lighting it up that game as well. But to be down by 11 and come back, it doesn't happen much. And it really gave me, you know, some confidence there in this team.
It did. And like you said, it's very rare that we get a comeback win, especially down so much as like 11. Generally, we're giving up the leads in the fourth. That's generally been the way it's gone this season. And to reverse that, I think defensively, Chris, I think getting a rebounding edge, sort of Rudy's coming along the boards a little bit, I think always can improve. Everybody can improve rebounding. But I think defense and rebounding, I mean, defense travels. You can take defense anywhere. And just because you're not hitting shots, you know, you can play defense. And I've been most impressed with that. Now, obviously, it wasn't their best defensive performance, but when it came down to getting some stops, they were able to do that. And, you know, to find the scoring and find the shots, it's impressive, especially against a team that can, like you said, can just fill it up like that. So that was good to see. I thought Prince in the Knicks game, I mean, it might be the performance of the year for him, but I mean, this guy was just hot that night. And, you know, I guess you just throw it up if you're making them, man. Keep taking the shots, right? And he did a great job of that. And then, you know, we get to the, speaking of defense, when we get to the Golden State game, I mean, that was really the thing there. And our best defender wasn't even playing. And so I think, you know, something's got in their heads. I think Connolly's really started to get his, you know, his mold in here on this team and start to go, okay, well, not only is he figuring out what everybody can do and when and why, but I mean, certain points in the game when the crowd gets out of hand, he's slowing things down. He's doing the type of things that we talked about we wanted to see last week that we just weren't seeing enough of. I think he's really settled in, and, you know, I don't want to – we're not going to go in the Connolly-Russell debate because they're different players with different styles. But I like now what Connolly's offering, particularly this time of the year, end of the season, and possible playoffs. He really has a good handle on what a team needs at this point and different moments in the game, what to do in those moments, a veteran presence. And I think that's doing a lot for this squad at the moment.
Yeah, and maybe these games without Ant and obviously without Cat, for that stretch when we trade D'Lo, there's been some, you know, mediocre to poor games by him from the scoring part. But when he needed to step up with Ant's been out, you know, he kind of turned into that, hey, man, I did make some all-star games. You know, I did get a big contract for a reason. And maybe that'll help him confidence-wise because they keep telling him, hey, man, if you're open, shoot, you know, go for it. But and Naz Reid, I think he had 11 in that quarter in that Atlanta game he played. I mean, jeez, man, Naz has played so great. There was such that debate of should we trade him, should we not? And I think it was a legit trade. Or, you know, talk about it, debate, because, you know, he is a commodity. Now, under his current contract, it's not as much of a commodity. Now, it's a bang for a buck, but I think you got to trade him at that time with somebody because of the contracts, because he wasn't making much money. But, you know, what you're giving to a team is a lot comparatively, but we knew, well, we didn't know. We knew that we didn't have Cat for 52 games, and we didn't know when he's coming back, so there was no way we could trade Nas, and just in general for the team, for himself, he's now, you know, it's going to be harder to keep him. I think we'll be able to keep him. Maybe someone will throw some crazy money at him. That's probably the only way he'd go away. But that it's been big, man. And one thing, Nas got played out of that series last year, and this year he's coming into the playoffs. Not just with a different mentality, but just healthy and going, and, you know, he's playing more power forward now, which was going to be a change we didn't know how he'd be able to handle. And ever since he lost a bunch of weight and kind of leaned out, because when he first got here, him and Towns actually had to put on weight because that was what the former coach wanted, more of a bruiser type stuff, down low stuff with Tibbs. But now, I mean, he's transformed his body. He can get off the dribble like crazy. Some of these crossovers, and not just nice little lay. He'll dunk it on you. I mean, even LeBron James was watching the game and be like, dude, this dude's super underrated. He's tweeting that shit. Back to wanting to fire Finch, though, okay? Minnesota, this is Al Horton after that game, the comeback game, two games ago against Atlanta. Minnesota is now 8 of 162 over the last five seasons when trailing by 10 points or more in the fourth quarter. 8 of 162. You know who's been the head coach for 7 out of the 8? Yes, that's right. Chris Finch. Okay, so everybody calm down. Take a deep breath. Every coach has their own style. And, you know, he's had more talent than some of those other teams. Of course, I'm not saying that, but he arranged the talent. He had a lot to do with putting it together and whatnot, so as far as on the court. But, yeah, man, last night, though, in a game that is, was really, really close as far as in the standings. Losing a sack tonight would suck, but not – you couldn't get overly mad because, one, we already beat them on the road once. Are they really going to let us beat them again? We'll get into previewing that game and whatnot, but I remember us saying, you know, one of two and two of one is probably, I mean, ideally two of one is probably the only thing we could do. And neither of us felt great about that. And here they are winning all three. But last night, man, in a big game on the road, and Golden State has actually struggled a lot on the road this season. They've picked it up lately, but overall it's been really weird. They've been horrible on the road. But at home, you know, you figure they're going to do it. But, man, that was a big win last night too. And that was more, you know, in front of a prime audience because I think it was on NBA TV too. It wasn't, you know, on ESPN or whatever. But that was a big win because we're so damn close, now only a half game behind Golden State.
Really big win, particularly don't have 100% Ant, Jaden McDaniels for 9 minutes. And just perseverance. We went big. I thought that was huge. The big lineup because everybody talked a little bit about, you know, if you're going to play Towns and Gobert, how you're going to get spread out and people will take advantage of you. Well, we just kind of went at it the other way and just went really, really big and okay, we'll take your spread out and see if you make your shots. But we're going to be, I think, at Anderson at the point guard. And for a little, let's talk for a second, Chris, about like when the trade went down, you know, we were, well, what are we going to do without Vanderbilt and Beasley? And we're losing some guys here. And, you know, in the last week, we've seen guys, like you said, Naz Reid, he was there last year, but you know, he's really stepped up, changed his game to a certain degree, has really been valuable offensively where he was more of a banger, like you said, and you know, get some garbage buckets and run the floor, occasional three. And now he's really taking an offensive jump. And then, you know, Kyle Anderson is a player that, you know, we didn't know what to expect when the season started. And it's kind of been a slow game with him. But now it's just like this guy is just kind of like a point forward, able to do so many things, shoot, just fill the role that needs to be filled that night. And so different bench players. Prince, like you said, didn't have a huge role last year. In this year, scoring punch. With Noel out and or whatever situation now, Doc, like Rivers, you know, he got in that fight. We haven't seen much of him since then. I don't know if one led to the other, but I'm assuming probably.
Well, Alexander has a lot to do with that. Too. Yeah, that's he was a very hurt. Good that's point. Why he was out for a while, but now yeah, Alexander's so, kind of filled that in.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right about that. I didn't really think of that. And J-Mac. But you have, you know, you have different bench support this year. Vanderbilt's presence would be nice, but you know, he's long gone and I don't think we're missing anybody all that much, I guess is my point. And you saw that last night at Golden State. And then they just really tightened down the defense, Chris. That was the most impressive thing to me. It was just defense, rebounding, throwing out some different lineups, and just kind of taking it to Golden State as opposed to, you know, trying to just withstand a barrage of scoring when, you know, and I think that was the most impressive, beating them at home for whoever was watching. I just think for their confidence, it could do, you know, go a great deal. Cat, you know, finishing out the game. I just thought the best win so far this season. And very surprising. Like you said, you get 9 minutes of McDaniels. You got, you know, Edwards not 100%. I just thought, you know, with Cat, with Anderson, with all these guys stepping up, Nas, Prince, all these guys stepping up. I think, you know, it really shows that, hey, somebody has a night off or can't hit a shot that night. You have options. And that's the biggest thing I think you see with Cat returning is another scoring option, which we were pleading for 52 games, is really coming to fruition. And I just think that was a really impressive win against Golden State. And I hope it bodes well for their confidence going forward.
Yeah, and they've been like the top five record-wise for a while now against teams above 500. And, you know, that is kind of that mentality of, okay, well, are we only going to show up against the good teams that helps in the playoffs and all that? But, yeah, when you see how tight this race is, man, you go back and look at a couple of that. We don't know where we're going to end up. But you know damn well we're going to look back at those six or eight games against shitty teams and be like, if we would have just won two more of those. But, yeah, last night Nas goes off. 3 of 5 from 3, 23 points. He has the most 20-point games off the bench by a center this year. Kyle Anderson, 12 points, 10 rebounds, 7 assists, 5 steals. Only Ricky and KG has put up that kind of stat line. And 3 of those steals were in the fourth quarter, and obviously we know there was a big, big one there. Now, you know, fourth quarter of the last 3 games, damn good, right? Still having an issue closing quarters. We've seen that throughout last night even. You know, in free throws, by the way, we know it's been a 2 years in a row now where we just fall way too much as well. But, yeah, 7 of 14 at the half, not really a good look. But, they, you know, we got sloppy, had some turnovers, allowed them to get back really quick into that game. They had a 12-0 run, and sure enough, they were leading that half. So that was a little funky way to close the half and whatnot. Obviously, I'm not going to get too freaking weird about it, right? But J-Mac is now – that rust has been off for a good 2 weeks now. Some games, the numbers aren't great, but when you watch the game, you're like, yeah, he filled his role as a backup point guard. Nas went off again. It was crazy to see McDaniels playing like 6 minutes through 3 quarters that day when he got that fifth foul. He spiked the ball, got a technical and everything. But he did rebound and play good defense along with Conley down the stretch. But – you know, really got an offensive foul flagrant for that elbow. It is what it is. I don't really look at that too crazy. But it was back and forth. And really, Poole was the guy going off in the fourth quarter, last 3 minutes. Wolves were down by 2, last 3 minutes. Back and forth we go. Rudy was 8 for 12. At some point, he was 8 of 10, something like that, I think, or 7 of 10 from the – you know, he only took 3 shots, but he got to the line 12 times, which is pretty impressive. But, yeah, that slow-mo steal, when it looked like should we fall or should we go for the steal for a little bit, they went. It looked like they were trying to kind of do both. Conley looked like he was trying to go for a fall, but either way, bad pass by Draymond. Slow-mo gets it, dribbles down the court, gives it off to Cat, and Cat, no hesitation. He had just hit a 3 and had a bucket in the last 3-4 minutes. That 3, though, no hesitation at all from a guy who's missed 52 games, that's a good sign.
It's a really good sign. I think he hit the other one, too, earlier in the week, too. Just came down spot 3 for the win.
Well, the free throws. Atlanta, he hit the 2 free
throws. Oh, yeah, it was the free throws. Right. Speaking of which,
so he basically has game winners because we never, you know, went down after those 2 things happened.
Speaking of which, I'm glad you brought up free throws. I mean, that's been a real problem. You got to make those free points, obviously. And sometimes when you're in these closer games, you need those points, and especially playoffs. Every one of those points is going to count. So obviously you can't say it enough. You got to make these free throws. And I don't know what the issue has been, but they need to make those. And I'm glad you brought that point up because that's something we forgot to even talk about. And it's maddening at times, missing free throws. And then some stupid fouls, although I really thought some of those fouls on Jaden were just kind of like almost targeted, like he was – like they were looking to get him out of the game or something. It was just weird, like the way the whistle was blowing on him, especially as your best defender against a high-scoring team. It's just kind of weird. But, yeah, you know, it's not – it's unlike him to have – those kind of nights with the fouls, and I thought he handled himself pretty well, except for, you know, spiking the ball or whatever. But yeah, it's tough when your best defender's out. But like I said, they picked up all around, and that to me was the I mean, you held them over under 100 points, Chris, at home. That's
yeah,
amazing.
That's saying something.
Yeah, and I don't know, you know, what people are saying about the fire. I mean, Cat's been out for 52 games. All national media hasn't even paid attention to that. Now they're all, you know, freaking out about, but Cat's been out for 52 games. And like you said last week, we haven't seen the squad at full strength since what, October? So, I mean, you know, it is surprising how Cat has kind of got back in. I think he probably was practicing with the squad for a while because it just kind of seems seamless. And he seems to have his legs under him. He doesn't look tired. attitude's a little different. He's not crying coming down the court anymore if he doesn't get the call.
Well, he hasn't gotten any foul problems yet, so that the jury's still out on that.
We're going to wait on that. That's a good point. But, yeah, so far it appears that some of that might be gone, and I hope it is. But, yeah, I mean, it's been interesting. I thought, you know, another point about last night's game of Golden State was rebounding all the way around. Now, I think that a lot of that, Chris, might be due to just having another big, a quality big back in Cat. But I think Rudy stepped it up a little bit. And now he can sort of see the vision of that caused that trade, I think, a little bit more. And I think we'll see more of it as we go forward. But, you know, Rudy's not forced now to be nimble and mobile. You know, he's basically in his role around the rim for easy buckets, rebounding, defense, and Cat can roam and do the things that he needs to do. And I think that's refreshing to see and something we've missed for, I guess, you know, 52 games.
Yeah, since like November 28th or something. And if you look at that 18-point third quarter, Rudy, and I'll say this, Alexander Walker came in, and he's been struggling from three lately. Had that great run when he first got here. He's been struggling lately, but he hit a couple of timely buckets and was playing great defense because McDaniels, you know, getting the foul problems, he came right in. So he played really well. And this whole Rudy thing as far as the blocks, like, it's funny because it's almost like people are watching and they're not really paying attention. They just want to see stats or something. But the amount, and this has been most of the season, but in the last however long, I don't know how long, but, like, the amount of folks that get to the lane and pass the ball. Like, he already has some blocks, right? He already is going to, you know, make someone adjust their shot to make it a more difficult shot. These dudes are coming down there and not even shooting. They're like, I'm good. Yeah, we'll just go. We'll pass it over here. You know, and that's something that we haven't had in a long time. And, yeah, those aren't blocks in the stat sheet. But if you can get all the way to the lane and you're not putting up a shot or you're not dishing to someone that Rudy came off of that's an open dunk or something like that, or you're not getting fouled or whatever, some positive thing about continually getting inside the paint, which, you know, that has to do with us too, so that's something to be talked about minorly. But the defense has been stellar overall for quite some time. A lot of the season we've had these little spurts of bad quarters and stuff like that, no doubt. And we were getting, you know, torched on the fast break points, second chance and all that. We still have improvements there. The turnovers, dump turnovers really led to that. But we've been creeping up the efficiency in the per 100 possessions. I mean, they had 98 possessions last night, and they scored 96 points, Golden State. I mean, that's fucking good. And we've already talked about how the half court we've been pretty damn good in the whole year. And that's, as we know, that's playoff basketball. So, yeah, man, now the fouls, we have the most technical fouls, the most flagrant fouls, which that could be hit or miss, and the most ejections in the league. And we're not the bad boy Pistons, okay? We're not favored to get to the conference final. So we do gotta, you know, calm down a little bit there, of course. But, yeah, man, this team is coming together and not even coming together in like, oh, dude, this is our year. But you can really, like you said, you can really start to see it playing out now. As we preview the next four games like we do to close the next four games at SAC in like – the tip starts in like 15 minutes at Phoenix on Wednesday, Friday at home to the Lakers, and then is it Sunday or Monday? I think it's Sunday at home with Portland. Hopefully they shut down Dame by then. It does look like Durant's going to be back for that game. Of course, I'd have to check their schedule. Maybe on a back-to-back he wouldn't. But the LeBronster's back. And not only LeBron, but D'Lo's going to play too. And D'Lo's actually played great for them. I know a lot of people get hurt from that or whatever. Now, tonight, we do have a couple things. Now, there's a little bug going around in the locker room, and people are a lot, post-COVID. People are a lot smarter now where you wear a mask, you know, at practice and stuff like that, randomly or in the locker room if you're feeling sick. Why not? You're going to – without the conspiracy stuff and you can't make me wear a mask, forget all that stuff. I'm saying it just makes sense as a professional team not to spread the flu around a locker room right for the playoffs. That's what I'm looking at. And there is a little bug going around. We had 3 days off, had some practices in there. You could kind of tell in that game last night that we had practiced. But Ant had, or at least missed two games. Or no, I think he missed one practice. But he was sick. I don't know how bad he was sick. But the way he looked last night, to me, he looked sick. My point is, Prince has been downgraded to questionable. He might not play. So we're definitely going to need McDaniels to step up. And also, as far as a back-to-back Towns, which is normal, actually, Towns came out. This is Chris Hine quote on Towns sitting. This is part of the return to play protocols that go with coming back from a 50-game absent. It's pretty standard, operating procedure right now, and it makes sense. Anyone that's freaking out that he's not playing and blaming this on load management, once again, a lot of these people that'll do that, right, are the ones that want to trade cats. So it's like, well, do you want to get them hurt or do you want to trade them? Which one do you want to do? Either way. So I knew you didn't know for a fact, but you'd assume missing all that time with that style of injury, especially when you're a big dude, he's not going to play tonight, okay? Now, we did beat them without him a little while ago at SAC, the only time we played at SAC. So I'm not picking them to win or whatever, but – hopefully Noel can come back, give us a little scoring spark. McDaniels got to have a better game than he did. That's just off not playing only 9 minutes. And then hopefully Ant feels a little bit better. But kind of running into this stretch here, Aaron, a few weeks, maybe like, I don't know, 10 days ago, maybe like 2.5 weeks ago, Al Horton put out this Wolves season summary, right? They won 4 out of 6, lost 6 of 7. 1-5, lost 3. 1-3 of 4, lost 3. 1-3 in a row, lost 6 in a row. 1-4 in a row, lost 3 of 5. 1-5 of 6, lost 7 of 11. 1-3 in a row. Then we just recently lost 5 of 6, and now here we are, winning 3 in a row. Heading into this 4-game stretch, can we finally break the cycle?
That is a great question, and all of us want to know the answer, but I guess we'll have to wait and see. I think, you know, with Cat most likely out tonight. It's official. Okay. Well, with Cat out tonight, we have beat Sacramento. I don't know if we split with them since Cat was out, but I think we've won our share and they've won their share. Something in that. It can't be too lopsided, I think, if you look back at the record. So it's a pretty good matchup. Obviously with Cat, I think that's a thing. Maybe you can, not let him look at Cat until we see the playoffs. If we see him in the playoffs, sure. I don't know if that's possible, but these are all 4 playoff teams, Chris. I'm pretty sure Sac, Phoenix, LA, Portland. Portland's not in. Well, they're still a damn good team. They're probably just lingering around. And like you said, they might not have Dane, so we don't know. So that seems to be the easiest, I guess, of the 3. Lakers are kind of molding into shape here, and Russell's probably got something waiting for us, most likely. Unless we can shut him down, put Jaden on him, and see what happens. All right, I'm going to go off since Monday, March 20th. I'm going to go off how they've been playing since they played the Knicks with Cat. And I'm going to say that squad that we saw against Golden State is the squad that's going to show up for these 4 games. That's my caveat. So let's say 100% Wolf team, ready to go, play defense. And, like you said, Ant was a little nicked up, and he's coming back into form. So maybe, a little sack. If you're going to lose that one, maybe it gets everybody healthy. So let's say we're going to lose Sacramento. I'm going to say we split, Chris, 2-2. I think we're going to lose tonight to Sacramento and probably lose to Phoenix. And then the 2 home games with the Lakers and Portland, I think we'll win. Lakers don't usually play too well up here. So I'd say we split them. I would like to see us beat Phoenix as well and go 3-1, but I'm going to go with 2-2 in the next four. And I think that keeps you right where you are, a game above 500. And hopefully others will lose and you can maybe rise in the standings. What say you?
So basically, I was kind of breaking up because my mic was doing, or my earphone was doing a little, getting a little mixed up. It was kind of staticky. So you thought we're going to go 0-2 and then 2-0? Two losses on the road, two wins. Is that what you said?
Sorry. Correct. Yep. I think we'll lose the two road games. If we do win one, I think it'll be Phoenix, but I think that's going to be a tough one. So I really think we're going to go, like you said, 0-2 and then 2-0.
Yeah, that's actually what I thought too. I thought we'd go 2-2. Here we go with the ideally. beyond the obvious ideally. Yeah, 4-0. Well, no shit. Of course, we'd like to go 5-0 in a 4-0 series. Yeah, of course, right? But I think the max we can go is 3-1. It would take a lot to beat Zach again. And by the way, if they win tonight, they clinch a spot in the playoffs. They got a playoff spot, but they technically, you know, clinch a spot tonight, so that's got to be on their mind. But yeah, I think so. I think it'll be 2-2. Maybe we can win tonight or beat Phoenix. We don't match up all that well with Phoenix. We usually play them good, give them a good, you know, college try. Good. We tried. We the Midwestern, we're tough guys. We try. We don't quit, but then we usually, they go on like a little run in the third, then we come back, and then they usually close us out. So that's kind of how I see that. And if you look at it, just kind of talking right now, Memphis has a two-game lead. They're already in the playoffs. Denver pretty much has the number one spot, I'd say. They have three games in front of Memphis, but you never know, I suppose, right? They have 8 games left. Memphis is in second, 2 games on Sacramento. So Sacramento or Memphis is going to be, you know, those three have that separation. No one's catching them. They're going to be there because it's a 6-game, you know, dip from Phoenix to Sac. So when you start lining this up, yeah, technically speaking, shit, if we win these next 2 games, the four spot is available. So I think people have to really think about that when they talk about this has been the most, you know, like the worst season because it's been so frustrating. It's like, well, hold on. You know, if we – when's the last time we had a shot at the four spot? I remember when we had Jimmy that year and Butler got hurt like for 15 or 17 straight games. Otherwise, I do think we would have gotten the third spot or the fourth spot. But that wasn't the case. We had to play in against Denver. But when you start to look at it, Memphis, Sac, you know, I like those two matchups. And I prefer the Sac matchup only because they don't play a brand of defense that's on a championship level. They're, you know, definitely 20th plus all season long in general, not just it's hard to use like if you're just a top 5 defense in every stat or something like that, then your points per game will look pretty good. But if you're in a lot of score fest, sometimes your points per game, that's why I like when the new analytics, some of them are like, especially defense, it's kind of tough. But I do like the overall team stuff and the per 100 possessions, because that's basically what you get nowadays is about 100 possessions a game, which is a lot. But I do like that stat. And Sacramento, you know, they just don't play defense. Their two stars kill us, no doubt. But we've been able to play them straight up. And then Memphis, we do match up pretty good with them. Just overall, we knew that going into the series last year and coulda, woulda, shoulda in those 3 straight games, or 3 out of the 4. We did win one of those games, but we know how the fourth quarter went. It didn't go well for us. So, I don't know. You start to line it up, and obviously if you're going to be in the play-in, the spot is the 7th spot. So, at worst, you get 2 home games to try to get into the play-in. So, you want the 7th spot, but the 6th spot likely matches you up with Sac, right? And the 6th spot gives you that extra 5 or 6 days off while they're doing the play-in tournament, which is key for rest to come in fresh and also to kind of know who you're going to play. If you're the sixth spot, you know who you're playing, you know, the whole week. So you get to, you know, it's not like you're playing in and so you're not getting to practice. And also, you don't know who the fuck you're playing just yet. So what says you about, you know, this second or the third, fourth, you know, the Memphis Sac, and I guess you could throw Phoenix in there if we were able to go up in the standings. Obviously, ideally, getting the four spot would be crazy. And we'd have to win the next two games, obviously. But I still kind of like last year. I kind of like the spot we're in as far as winning a series.
Yeah, I mean, I think I agree with you on that. The thing about, I was just going to talk to you about it, was, you know, I haven't seen a lot of Phoenix lately, and I don't know how integrated Durant is at the time. Are they clumsy? Are they smooth with him? Has he really integrated that well?
I mean, well, he hasn't played many games, but when they're in, yeah, they look really good. And he's that type of player that he can just kind of fit in, and they've all played together for a while. Now, the only thing is, they had to get rid of a lot of their bench depth and their role player depth to acquire him.
Okay. Yeah, that would have, not only would that have maybe changed my prediction for the next four, but also if we saw a playoff series. I think you're right about Sacramento. If you get these running teams that want to score, and don't really give a crap about defense, I think that's proven, except for maybe Loyola Marymount to the Final Four many, many, many years ago, and they did not win the championship, that can only take you so far, the score first, and you have to play defense, particularly NBA, when you're playing a series, Chris. I mean, you're going to have an off-shooting night.
Yeah, we know all too well.
Yeah, you're going to have an off-shooting night. You're going to have fouls. So many variables can go in there to throw off your scoring. And then if you're not playing defense, you're just going to get ran. So I like, you know, the Memphis one's tough, I think, because, well, we saw them last year, but we basically beat them last year. I'm sorry to say that, but we beat them. We beat ourselves. But I think we won that series. Although we lost it, I still think we won that series.
I know what you're saying.
And
we played good enough to do it.
Yeah, we just had to shit our pants in one game, and then we just couldn't close another one, and we had it. And it's a young team and blah, 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 all the stuff. But so I like the matchup there. You know, I think they're paying more attention to that bully they got over there. What's his name? I don't know what his name is, but
guy they put on
Brooks.
Devo.
Is it Brooks?
Right away, yeah. Yep.
Yeah. So they'll probably, you know, keep a closer eye on him.
He totally pushed the camera guy the other day, dude. That was bad. Yeah. Like, he acted like, because he went into him and then he gave him an extra shove. He's on some Rodman Draymond feel vibe to him. But yeah, I got to admit, it's the type of guy that if he's on your team, you're like,
yeah, you love him.
I actually like this fucking guy.
Yeah. So as far as matchups, I think, I guess what I'll say is this. If you're planning to win the series, and obviously nothing's guaranteed, but let's just say you happen to win the first round series, I would rather play Memphis and beat them, because I think you're going to run a lot against Sacramento. And if you can sweep them and get into four and get some rest time, you'll be fine. But I don't want that wear and tear on the legs of just going back and forth, particularly if you're going to keep up this defense and play intense defense as you have been. I'd rather beat Memphis in a half court game than be, you know, going up against Sac in a full court game. But I think to win, so I guess long story short or shorter, I think I'd prefer to beat Memphis, to play Memphis.
In the first round, you're saying?
In the first round, yeah. But I think either one, I mean, if you can handle Fox and you can do something about Sabonis, which I think you can with Rudy and Carl, Fox, keep him on the perimeter, put Jaden on him. It'll be a long night for Jaden, but I think he can handle him.
Let those two get it and then, you know, calm everybody else down.
Sure. That's another way of doing it. Yeah. So I guess I'd go, I don't hate either matchup. If I had to pick one of them, I would say I prefer the Memphis matchup, which might be terrible because Jaw can, you know, score 50 and then you're in a whole nother world. But But I think I'd prefer to take the Memphis just because of the pace of the game. And we saw
and
him
they
last
don't have
year.
Clark. Clark got hurt. He's Clark done for the season. And he was the difference maker beyond what's-his-tells. And,
And their front court isn't great, you know, compared to our front
Kyle
court.
And Anderson. Take him off the court for them, too.
Sure. So, yeah, I think I'd rather see Memphis. And Spetsak I'm not worried about. And I think if Cat does sit tonight and we do get Sack, I think that's a positive for us because they wouldn't have seen us. Maybe early in the season we played Sacramento with Cat, but they don't have any real feel for what we are. I mean, obviously they got tape and they can watch, but they don't have any real, you know, tangible feel of what Cat is like in the lineup. And it'd be nice to just kind of have that feather in our cap going into that series. But yeah, I like both matchups, Chris. I'd rather have Memphis, but give me Sacramento. Just get us in a playoff series again, because, I mean, that's where we really judge and we make moves. Last year we got in a playoff series. We saw what we lacked, tried to address it in the offseason, and we need to do the same thing this offseason.
Yeah, to be fair, this year will be a little different because of the time missed, so the glue isn't as glued. Sure, it's been great, you know, having Cat back, but I don't think I'll make – long-term, decisions or whatever. I'm not making decisions, but long-term thought processes like, all right, this has to change or whatever, just because, man, they still aren't going to get much time together. But if they were able to win a series, man, I want everybody to shut up. I don't care what happens after that. No, I don't want to get swept the next series. I'm not saying that, but honestly, like, if we were to win a series, you know, and maybe you're right about this, the Memphis thing, and we, you know, more than likely that means a seventh seed, so we do have to win the play-in, the first game, too, to get them. I'm not completely afraid of Denver, but they've been together so long that's tough. That's a tough one, especially, you know, no home court or whatever, obviously. But, yeah, man, this is interesting. This is going to be fun. Like I said, we now know that Prince is not playing tonight. It just came out because he's sick. So hopefully he'll be back by Wednesday. Any last words, though, before we shut this puppy down, sir?
Just Denver, Jokic. I mean, that's a problem in the front court. That's what you wouldn't get with Sack and what you wouldn't get with Memphis, you would get a whole lot of with Jokic. And so I don't love that matchup too much. And you're right, the continuity, they've been playing together and they're number one seed and all that stuff. So I don't know. I just think, look, you're going to have to play guys. You're going to have to beat everybody at some point. So, you know, bring it on. But, you know, starting off with Memphis, and I think a little bit of the problems with Ja had in the out in the streets might have a little impact on his play. So I don't know. I think I like the Memphis one better. But yeah, I mean, let's hope that they can have a respectable week, Chris. 3-1 would be great. 2-2 is livable, and let's hope it's not a 1-3 or a 0-4. And you know, that would kind of lead to the inconsistency. We'd be back talking about, well, what the hell is going on here? But check out the show anywhere you get your podcast: Spotify, iHeartRadio, everywhere you get them. Ropadope Radio's Chris's station. Check it out, and we'll see you next week.
All right. Hopefully we are talking good stuff next Monday. Peace.